Well, hey, we are in this new series called Courage. Because Jesus was not afraid, I will not be afraid. And this morning, I'm going to be speaking to the men and young men, the singles, the teenagers, the husbands. And then I'm going to close with speaking to the wives in regards to the wife. As we get into this message, I want you to know, don't demand your man. Don't take the man out of your man. Instead, speak to the man in your man, and we'll cover that. Just like a thought, just a thought. You may not ever remember, but I'm a police officer, and we always battle against the firemen. And the firemen came out with some silly thing called the fireman's calendar. You ever remember the fireman's calendar, right? All these hot, there was the first selfies ever made was by a bunch of firemen on a calendar for some reason, because they thought that'd be a great fundraiser, right? But like the fireman's calendar, like, don't demand your man. My point is this, is make your man feel like he's the fireman on every page of the calendar. Like he is your hero on every month. And man, when you can do that and you understand what that is, to speak to the man in your man, you will have a different man. We're going to get into this. I want to speak to the men. I want to speak to the young single men. I want to speak to the teenagers. And I want the young single ladies to really hear this, that this would be the type of man that you would really come to a place, say, God, I'm not settling for anything other than that right there. Because that's who you created man to be. So come on, let's ask God to bless us. Father, we thank you for our time. God, I thank you for a church that's filled. God, it's amazing. God, I love what I see in the sense of men who are fearless, men who have courage, men who are bold, men who are the leaders in their home, bringing their families to church, men who are leading their homes in devotions, men who are on their face before you crying out for their families, single men who are crying out for you, God, to be bold and to be strong in their singleness, to follow hard after you and to be faithful to you. God, I thank you for teenage men who stand strong in that age to look to you for everything, God, in their lives and continue to trust you for a future. God, thank you for a church filled with this type of man. Father, I ask that you would impact our lives this morning by your word. God, your word is alive and powerful. God, is it effective to those who believe it? God, for those of us who will put our trust in it, God, it will impact our lives. God, I pray that you would just speak to us this morning. God, allow your Holy Spirit to move in this place and pinpoint your word to every heart that's here. Every heart that is in this place, here and now. God, that you, by your Spirit, you would bring that word directly to their heart. Folks, I ask that you would ask God, God, speak to me today. God, speak to me today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, turn to two places with me this morning, please. Turn to 1 Corinthians 16 and then 1 Kings 2. 1 Kings Old Testament, kind of towards the first third of the Old Testament. When you come to the first and seconds of the Old Testament, 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles, man, you're right in the middle. It's the only first and seconds. They're all in a row right in the Old Testament. Can't miss it. 1 Kings 2, can't wait to get there, man. That's going to be some great stuff. But I just want to share something briefly as we're just singing this morning and just going into worship. And really, really, what does it mean to know that Jesus is the burden bearer, man? That Jesus has taken our burden. Why is it? Why is it, folks, that there's so many times that we carry things? We carry weight and we carry burdens and we carry just such heaviness. When the Bible says in 1 Peter 5, 7, cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. Cast all your heaviness, all your weight. What would that be like? Gang, that's a choice. Honestly, that's a choice to say, I'm done with this, and honestly, I surrender it to you, and I am going to cast. I'm going to cast it all on you because you care for me. And I want you to see this, man. I want to read this to you. As you're turning, Psalm 68, 19 says this, blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burdens. Who daily bears our burdens. Lord, I can't take this anymore. Well, what if we, honestly, God tells us what to do with it. He tells us to put it on him. He tells us that he will carry that burden for us day after day after day after day. This is what he says. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burden, the God who is our salvation. Gang, when's the last time, honestly, you went through a difficult, or you went through a season, or you went through this heaviness? What did you do with that? He tells us. cast it on him. God, I trust you. I am dependent upon you that you would lift this gang. Then we walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. The fullness of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. It's very difficult to walk in love, joy, and peace when you are just pressed down because of heavy burden. And yet that's the fruit that we're supposed to bear. That's why he says daily, 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 cast your care on him. Because he cares for you. It's powerful. It's powerful. Man, I'm going to speak to us this morning, self-included. And we're going to come to a point, even on that, I want to ask you a very serious question, man. Come on, is your faith strong enough? Is your faith in a place that when crisis hits, your wife and your children to look to you and say, man, he's got this. Dad has this. Dad's going to see us through. Dad is going to take us to the earth. Dad is going to stand firm. Dad has this. His faith is intact. He stood firm. He can handle any crisis that comes down. Listen, men, seriously, are you in a place as the husband and as the father? If you are a single man in this place, are you building that faith up one day that your wife will be able to completely and totally trust in you that my man has this? He's got it. See, Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. I mean, we can wing right by that and say, oh, that's such a great verse. I love you just as Christ loved the church and he gave himself up for her. But what happens? What happens? What happens if you actually stop and ask yourself a question? How is it that Christ actually loved the church? Because there is a serious pattern that is set up in Ephesians 5. And when you read Scripture and you want to dig deep in the Word of God and you come to a place, you stop and you ask questions. Okay, I am supposed to love Renee just like Christ loved the church. And Christ gave himself an amazing sacrifice for the church. How has Christ loved the church? Because that, gentlemen, is an amazing pattern of how you and I are supposed to love our wives. And a part of that, please hear this, please hear this. A part of that, I want you to get this, because a part of me loving Renee is to take her burden and put it on me. Because that's what Jesus did for the church. And listen, you can get a very long list of how Jesus loved the church. I have written out a list again and again and again. And please hear this, man, I've been married for 21 years. And the more I know how Jesus loves me, the more I know how to love my wife. And that list gets longer and it gets longer and it gets longer. And one of the things that I have learned is I want to do everything I can to have my wife be less stressed, that she would cast her care and I would take that burden and I would do this for her. And whatever seems to be stressing her out, I would put it on my shoulders, because that is exactly what Jesus did for me. Gentlemen, do you carry the load? Do you carry the load? Do you carry the burden? Do you carry the stress? Do you carry the weight so that your wife doesn't have to? Is she able to come to you and say, man, I can't handle this. Would you please take care of it? I am at this point. I'm at this level of stress. I need you to take this. Or better yet, how about you get to know your wife and understand exactly where she's at? Because 1 Peter 3:8 says that we're supposed to sympathize with our wife and understand and share the feelings of one another, that when we know that she's at a place where she's heavy laden and she is stressed, that we take that off and do everything we can to remove that burden off of her and put it upon me. Because you see, that's what Jesus did for you. Do you understand what it is to carry the load? Do you understand what it is to take lead in your home? See, the enemy will do everything in his power to demand the man. Listen, Satan he understands leadership. He understands the role of the man as the head of the house. Ephesians 5 says, husbands, you are the head of the house just as Christ is the head of the church. And the word head here, please understand this. To be a man, it doesn't mean that I'm overbearing. It doesn't mean that I'm arrogant. It doesn't mean that I can bench press 400 pounds. It doesn't mean that I'm supposed to be harsh and I'm supposed to be angry. No, folks, all of those things are sin. When you come across as arrogant and you come across as overbearing and you completely, totally misuse the word head, say, listen, I'm the boss, Alice. Actually, the Bible says that that's actually sin, because the Bible says you're supposed to nurture and you're supposed to cherish and you're supposed to love and you're supposed to be gentle and you're supposed to be tenderhearted. The Bible says you're never supposed to bring your children to a place of anger. Bible says you're supposed to love your wife. Colossians 3:19. You're supposed to love your wife and not be embittered towards him and not be harsh. Because sometimes we get this picture of a man that, oh, he's arrogant and he's boastful and he's prideful and he's strong and he's mean and he's harsh. And that's supposed to be the tone of a man. No, actually, that's actually what God says is sin. We're supposed to walk in a sense of being confident. We're supposed to walk in a sense of being bold. We're supposed to walk in a sense of having courage. We're supposed to walk in a sense to be the head. And please hear this. Don't miss this. Please hear this. The word head, it means the accountable spiritual leader of the home. How are you doing with that? Amen. Because to tell you what, as one, I give account first, folks, as a husband. I will stand before God and give an account. When the Bible says you're going to give an account, you're going to give an account. And I will stand before God and give an account how I led my wife spiritually, how I led my family. That's on me. Am I the one driving to church? Am I the one waking up the family to get to church? Am I the one? Gang, please, please hear this about Seek. Seek has been so powerful. Seek is a time, the first Sunday of every month at 7 o'clock. We seek, man. We pursue God. We go after God in a time of worship and prayer. And we stop in the middle. We break it up. And we pray about the things of the church. And now every service, every Seek, we break up for husband and wife to pray for one another and to cover their children and to cover their finances and to cover that specific month. That is so powerful. For husband and wife to say, God, we are giving you the very first evening, the first Sunday night of the month, saying, God, this month belongs to you. And as a husband, are you bringing your wife to that? Saying, honey, we can't miss. We got to go. I'm driving, honey. Let's go. Or does your wife take lead and have to wake you up on Sunday mornings or have to wake you up and have to get you ready for Seek and have to... Because being the head of the house, it doesn't mean that I'm the boss, Alice. It means I will be the spiritual leader of my home. And when we understand what it means, folks, when we can win the men, we can win the family. And when you win the family, you win the community. Amen. And I believe it starts with the man. I believe you see an amazing picture right in the very beginning. God created Adam. And then God created Eve to be a helper to Adam. And what happens when the man misses on his part to protect? See, in Genesis, the very beginning, God told Adam, this is the most perfect place. But there's just one tree. Don't touch it. Don't eat from it. Do not eat its fruit, Adam. And then he created Eve. And then the serpent shows up in Genesis 3. And does he go after Adam? No, he goes after Eve. Adam tells Eve. Eve knew. Listen, we're not supposed to eat from that tree. Oh, did God really say that? And my question is, where the heck is Adam? Adam, what are you doing? God gave you instruction. You've told your wife, don't touch the tree. The enemy knocked on your front door, Adam. Where were you? You know what Genesis 3 says? That she took it, she ate of the fruit, and she gave it to her husband. He's standing right there. And how many times, honestly, do we stand there and allow the enemy to knock on our front door? The Bible says the enemy is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. How many times is that lion right outside your door? And you just stand there. Do you have enough faith to come to a place to carry the load of your wife and to walk in a place to love, to lead, and to protect? That's the role of a man, to lead your home, to love your wife and your children, and to walk in a sense to protect them, to come to a place to be bold. Now look at this. Come on. 1 Corinthians 16 says this, verse 13. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. I love what this says. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the... Could you just get this as a man? Wives, grab your husband's leg and say, pay attention to this. Come on. He can handle it. Elbow him sharply. Say, listen, get this. Be on the alert for my sake and for your children's sake. Listen, if you were a wife, you'd say, listen, for me and for your children, please be on the alert. When the enemy's knocking, know it. Be watchful, be on guard. This is what it says. Husbands, we need to be watchful and we need to be on guard. He tells us, be on the alert. And he says, just stand firm in the faith. That means hold your ground. When the storm hits and when the crisis comes, are you capable? Man, come on. Are you capable, Lisby? Listen, I've got this. I'm understand. When your wife say, children, listen, your dad has this. He will see us through. We've got to trust in him. He is trusting in God, and he's going to carry us through this. Man, he is a man of faith. I know him. He can stand firm. He can handle this. He will hold his ground. And when the dust settles, there he is, standing firm in his faith, and he has led us through. Gentlemen, can you do that? Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. You know what that means? Act manly. Be manly. Now, honestly, man, this week I woke up, it was Thursday morning, and I put so much mind time in this, and I think. And Renee's like, hello, are you here? Well, I'm right next to you. No, are you here? I've had to say, Renee, I put so much thought into this, and I woke up Thursday morning with the question on my mind, well, what does a man act like? God has instructed me to act manly. Does that mean I can bench press 400 pounds? Does that mean my muscles are bigger than your muscles? Does that mean I can go out naked with a knife and kill a bear? No. You know what I know it, what it means? It means don't act like Renee. Don't act like a woman. Listen, perfect example. I mean, just before I came in to this service, there was a crowd out there. And they were just, I think they were in the service, and there was a bunch of men, and there was one girl. And a bee came in, and she starts screaming. You know how a girl can scream, and she's like that, and she's screaming, and I'm just like, if a man does that, punch him. They just came out of this message. They're like, that's right. They're like, don't punch her. But if a man is screaming like a girl because there's one single little bee, then you have the right to punch him in the face. Perfect. Awesome. The Bible says, act like a man. Be manly. That means don't act like a woman. The Bible also tells us in 1 Peter 3, I want you to see this because this is so important. 1 Peter 3, 7. It also tells us this. You husbands, in the same way with your wives, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as someone who is weaker. Or some versions will say a weaker vessel. Now, please understand this. This does not mean less than. It doesn't mean I'm the boss, Alice. It doesn't mean I'm more important in God's eyes than you. That is absolutely not true because she says, since she is a woman, show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life so that your prayers will not be hindered. Look at this. As with someone weaker, since she is a woman. You know what that means? That means that you should, when you two arm wrestle, you should win. And if you don't win, I don't know. But you know what? I know what it means to act like a man. It means to be stronger since she is a woman. I'm the one who protects. I'm the one who should be strong and be able to hold it together emotionally. I'm the one who really takes the hit. When a hit is coming, I'm the one who's supposed to take the hit, not my wife. Why? Because I'm stronger. That doesn't mean that she's less than. She doesn't mean that she's not that important. She doesn't mean that I'm here and she's there. That's absolutely cleared up in that verse. That's not what it means. But it means I'm supposed to act like a man and I'm supposed to take the hit. I'm supposed to act like a man and I'm supposed to be stronger emotionally and physically. And when the enemy starts knocking, I'm the one who gets in the way. When you understand that, what it means to act like a man, there's a sense of being brave in that. Even in the Greek word, there's a sense of having courage. There's a sense of being brave. And then the last part of this, it says to be strong. And this word strong, you got to understand, it means power, empowered. It means like a vigorous. It means someone that is tough. Someone that can handle it. When you understand when God is saying you are supposed to have courage as a man, and you are supposed to be brave as a man, and you are supposed to come to a place when fear hits, you should not be afraid, that you are able to lead your family where they look to you in their fear and in their concern and in their worries. Please hear this, man. You should be able to look to your family and put that to rest, to say, listen, I've got this. And the way I've got this is I go to Christ and I go to my Father. And I ask for wisdom and I ask for discernment and I get us through, because I have stood firm in my faith, and I will act like a man and I will be strong. Wouldn't it be amazing if we had men that would really completely come to a place to rise up to that right there as a husband? See, honey, I am going to carry your burden. The things that are weighing you down, and that heavy stress and that worry and that concern, I'm the one who's supposed to carry those. And I'm not the one that's supposed to add to that. Wouldn't it be amazing if we really looked to our wives in a way of not adding to her concern and adding to her stress, but everything in us says, I want to release you of stress. And I want you to know that when crisis hits, you can get on my back and I will carry you through that point, because I will stand firm in my faith. And when the enemy comes knocking, I'm the one going to answer the door. And in that, I will not be afraid. Because if I go toe-to-toe and I vigorously oppose the enemy because I have humbled myself in God, then he is going to flee. And man, what an amazing place to be as a husband, to cover your family and say, listen, I will take the hit for you. When the enemy comes knocking, I answer the door. Because to get to them, you got to go through me. What happened if we had husbands like that, that are driving the spiritual boat, driving the family devotions, driving, we are going to church, we are going to seek, we are going to pray as a family, husbands and wife. We are going to come before God on that first and say, it is yours. This month is yours. Gang, all of that is a part of leading the family, where your wife doesn't have to beg you to come to church. But your kids would see in such a way of dad is leading us spiritually. Dad's the lead. Listen, men, please hear this. We are called by God to lead spiritually and not follow. We are called by God to lead our home spiritually and not follow. So where is your faith this morning? Are you in a place to be able to lead, be able to love, and to be able to protect your home? Because you rise up in the sense of being bold, and you rise up in the sense of having such courage, and you walk up in a sense to say, I will not be afraid, knowing that there will be storms, there will be times of crisis, there will be seasons you go through. That is it. Can your wife, please hear this, can your wife look at you and say to the kids, he's got this. Sean can handle this. Because he trusts in the Lord his God, he will see us through. And we're going to piggyback on him, because he's got the faith to sustain this family. Folks, that takes boldness. That's not how much you can bench press. That's a stance in his word. And a stand strong in your faith and act like a man and to be strong, to be empowered, to be hardy. You know what that means? That means you don't crack under pressure. When God says, Sean, be strong. Be hardy, Sean. Don't let your emotions crack under pressure. Sean, don't make a bad decision because you have got weak in the knees and you failed. Sean, don't do that. Be strong. Be empowered. Be hardy. Trust in me. Sean, you cast all your burdens. I mean, Sean, you take the hit for your family. Sean, you protect. Sean, you can handle this. Because God calls me to be hardy and not to crack under pressure. Come on, 1 Kings, please. I want you to see this. What about our children? If you're a single man in this place, I want you to get this, man. I want you to be hearing this message saying, that's who I'm becoming. For when God brings that woman along, when God brings that woman who breathes for Jesus, she will see this in me. She will know I'm driving the boat, not in a forceful way, not in an angry way, not in a sinful way, but I am going to lead my family to church. I'm going to lead my family to the prayer meeting. I'm going to lead my family to the morning devotions. We are going to gather and we are going to pray. I'm going to lead my family. When the crisis comes, I've got this. That's who you want her to see in you as a single man. If you are a single lady in this place, man, you best be taking notes, because this is the man you want. This is the man you patiently wait for. And can I please say this? Don't settle. Don't settle. Well, he's nice. I don't give a rip about him being nice. Well, he looks like a fireman. I don't care about firemen. But does he walk in a sense to have such a fear of God and a hatred for sin? Does he understand what it is to fight against sin? Does he understand what it is to fight for his family? Does he understand what it is to walk in a reverence before God and not care what man on the outside thinks? I don't care if he's nice. I care if he has such an understanding of what it is to lead his family spiritually. And it doesn't start when you get married. Come on, I want you to see this. Husbands, get this, please. Because if you're a dad in this place, you will get this. This is David. He's at the end of the day. He's at the end of his life, man. He knows that he's dying. And this is King David, man. This is the greatest king in Israel's history, folks. He knows how to lead. He knows how to be bold since David and Goliath. We're going to talk about that sometime in this series. He understands what it is to be fearless. He understands what it is to lead. He understands what it is to be a warrior. He understands what it is to fear God. He understands what it is to worship God and express his love for God in worship. And he was never ashamed to lead in worship. You read most of the Psalms, they come from David. And he talks about his response to God in worship. Never ashamed to worship God. Never ashamed to get into the Word of God, never ashamed to lead. He understands what it is to fail and walk in immorality and sin. He understands what it is to be broken. He understands what it is to repent. And he knows that this is the end. And this, get this, this is the charge to his son, Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 2 says this. Chapter 2, verse 1 says this. As David's time to die drew near, he charged Solomon, his son, saying, I am going the way of all the earth. He's saying, listen, I'm dying, Solomon. This is the deal. Be strong. Solomon, be hardy. Solomon, be empowered. Solomon, be strong. Therefore, and show yourself a man. I love that. What an instruction from a dad to a son. Listen, I'm dying and I want you to be empowered. And I want you to be strong. And I want you to walk in a sense to be hardy. I want you to be vigorous, son. And I want you to show yourself to be a man. Be manlike, son. What an amazing, amazing words from a father to a son. You think David could have said that if he had no man in him? Could you imagine saying that to your son and your son begin to laugh? Dad, you never acted like a man. Dad, you never led us spiritually. Dad, you never came to a place to walk in strong faith. What an amazing place where this is father and son, and dad is looking at his son going, listen, you be strong. You act like a man, son. He says this, keep the charge of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. I love this. Keep the charge of the Lord your God. Stay or hold your ground in the charge. Well, what's the charge of the Lord your God? To walk in his ways. Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. Walk in a sense, in a reverence of him. Walk in a fear of him. Walk in his ways. And I love this. He says this. Keep his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, his testimonies. Understand. Listen, they have the Old Testament. We've got the whole book, man. It's amazing that we can go to our sons and say, listen, you be strong and you act like a man and you walk in a charge of God. That means you walk in his way, not the world's way. You walk in his way and you understand what he says through his testament, through his commands, through his statutes, through his ordinance. That's your game plan right here, son. I love Solomon went through his whole life with his ups and downs and his mistakes. And Ecclesiastes 12:13 is amazing because you see the end of one father going to his son, and then you see the end of what his son says. And the conclusion, this is Solomon, the conclusion, this is when all has been heard. He's coming to the end of the road and he says this, fear God, keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. Dads, what are we passing down to our sons? That when they would come to the end of their day, if the Lord would tarry, that they would look to their sons and say, sons, be strong. Show yourself to be a man. Walk in the charge. Keep yourself in the charge of the Lord your God. Walk in His ways and obey His commandments. Son, that's who you need to be. And what about your daughters, gentlemen? Because I have two sons. I have my man Carter, who's 17 going on 18. I got my little man Ethan, 9 going on 10. And I love what happens in our house. I love Carter and Ethan just wrestling and fighting and just going to town on the floor. And we just bought a brand new couch, and Renee's here, but we just bought a brand new couch, and there's times that we're firing each other on the couch, and it's starting to creak a little bit, and it's brand new, and it's just, but that's man stuff. That's kind of what we do as men. And if I were trying to grab Olivia and throw her on the couch, the first punch would be from Renee, and then it would be from Olivia, and that'd be a double knockout. It'd be a bad idea. But then you have your daughters. And man, I'm telling you what, the one question that I just keep asking myself for my princess is this. When she marries a man, do I want him to be like me? Is she looking for a man that's like her father? And how he treats her mom, her brothers, and herself. And I tell you what, that changes in a sense to go, am I really that man? Am I that dad who has shown himself to love her mom just as Christ loved the church? Have I shown her to what it is to be on the alert? Listen, your teenagers will not want you fathers to be on the alert. They won't want you to be looking and guarding, saying, no, you're not going out with him. I don't care who he is. You're not. Nope. Yeah, but dad, no, you're not going there. Yeah, but no, you're not washing that. Yeah, but dad, everyone else. Listen, that doesn't fly in my house 1 inch, but everyone else is doing it. Nah, they know by now that's absolutely a zero. Not happening in my home. They don't, honestly, a teenager doesn't want you so much in the flesh, in the spirit they do, but in the flesh, they don't want you to be on the alert. Because you being on the alert, you're paying very close attention to everything in your kids' lives. No, you're not going there. No, that's a horrible influence. No, you're not doing that. When they get older, you take your foot off the brake a little bit and you let them make their decisions. In their flesh, they're not going to want you to be on the alert. But be honest with you, in their flesh, I don't give a rip what they want. Because in the spirit, they'll be amazed that you didn't let them go in that filthy way. You didn't let them date that criminal guy. They didn't let you date that silly little woman who was after you. But at the end of the day, is my daughter looking for a husband that was like her dad? Who understood what it was to lead, understood what it was to love, understood what it was to protect? Is that where you're at as a leader in your home? Come on, I want you to bow your heads, please. Wives, I just need to speak to you just for a minute. Grab the hand of your husband, please. Ladies, if you're single, please hear this. Because one thing that you can do and learn is to speak to the man in your man. Is not to demand. Don't take that man out of your man. Don't take that lead out from him. Don't take that. Listen, there's a great, I'm a Fast and Furious fan. I love the movies, but there's a great scene where you've got Connors and you've got Hobbs. Hobbs is the big, huge beast of the FBI, CIA. All he does is eat up people, take out bad guys. They send him in to just, when he goes in, everybody dies. Awesome. And when Connors knows this guy and he describes him, he talks to the team and he says, this guy's Old Testament. Like, that's like a compliment, man. That's like, that's right, man. I'm Old Testament. Like, why? If you want to speak to the man in your man, he, dude, you are like, Sean, you're hardcore. Sean, you're like SWAT. Sean, you're like Old Testament. You begin to understand what it is to build that man in you that he comes to this place. That's right, man. I'm like, ha, I'm like Old Testament. Like, oh, that's right, baby. I'm SWAT. But when you speak to a man that way, you are touching a button there. Because there is something God-given in him to be that protector, to know, man, when the enemy comes crawling, SWAT's showing up. Old Testament is showing up. That when you begin to speak to the man in your man, when you begin to speak to the one who's on the alert, you begin to speak to the one who's standing firm, you get to speak to the one who's acting like a man who is brave and has courage, and you begin to speak to the one who is strong, and you speak to that part of your man, I'm telling you what, you will have a different man. When your man begins to believe, my wife thinks I'm the baddest man on the planet, not in a sinful way, but in an empowerment way. Please hear this. This is true. My wife thinks I'm the hero of every month. My wife really believes that I can handle this. My wife really has spoken to the man in me. You will change your man. Or you can destroy your man to trying to take that out of him. Father, please. God, as we close this, I'm asking that you just continue to speak into our lives in this, that we as men would understand what it is to lead, understand what it is to love, understand what it is to protect, that we would honestly take a look at ourselves. God, am I walking in faith that when crisis hits, my family will trust me to get us through, to get us through? Am I the one driving the boat spiritually? Am I the one bringing this family to the church? Am I the one leading in family devotions? Am I the one who gathers the team together to get on our face before you? Am I the one to be strong enough to lead? That my sons after me would be strong. That they would know what it is to act like a man. They'd know what it is to be courageous. They'd know what it is to be brave. They'd know what it is to walk without fear, to not be afraid. They'd know that because they've seen it in me. That's how they learn. God, that our daughters would come to a place to look at us and say, I won't settle for anything less. And who my dad is to my mom. I won't settle for anything less than that picture shown to me. Father, we ask that you truly would empower us, that we would be strong enough. God, you put it in man. It's there. God, I pray for every wife in this place that she would speak life to her man. God, she would bring out that man in her man. God, she would speak to the man in him. God, he would feel 10-foot bulletproof around his wife, because that's how she makes him feel, God, that she would speak to that in him. Hallelujah. God, please. Hallelujah. That we walk out of this place different as husbands and wives, seeing what your word has said, how you set this up for us as men and as wives, as young men not married, that this is who we shall be. We're driving the boat. Walking in our faith now, strong. God, thank you for today. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen.